The grace of God, the amazing grace of God. The definition for grace is unmerited favor, undeserved gift. And that gift that we got from God was that He sent His Son to die for us. Did you deserve that? I didn't. No, I didn't deserve the grace of God. That's what makes God's grace so amazing, is that He gives it to us even when we didn't deserve it. This was not going to be my sermon this week. In fact, I worked all week long, and in your bulletin is the sermon that I worked on. But Thursday night, I was having trouble going to sleep, and after my prayers, I was just got to thinking about how gracious God had been to me. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought on it, I just was overwhelmed. A few weeks ago, I talked about what a rough year Pat and I had, and I'm ashamed of that now, because we've been so blessed. And God's grace never ceased. It's awesome. It's no wonder it's called amazing grace. Because of what it does for us, of what it is for us, of what it can be for us, of what it can do for us. The grace of God is truly amazing. Now, when we think of the grace of God, we usually think of salvation. And well, we should. Passages like Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, where Paul says there that, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Or here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, where it tells us that through Christ, through grace, God has made salvation available to all mankind. So when you think about grace, you automatically think about salvation, what God has done. And what He has done is awesome and amazing. But grace is more than that. Grace is not just what God has done and the sins that He has forgiven whenever we obey and take advantage of that gracious gift. But it is also, grace is what gets us through this life. It's very applicable for us today. You remember whenever Paul in 2 Corinthians was dealing with the thorn in his flesh. And he asked the Lord, asked God, his Father, on three occasions to take the thorn away. You remember what God said to him, or what the Master said to him? "My what is sufficient for you?" Grace. "My grace is sufficient for you." So for Paul, grace was that always present thing that got him through the rough times. The problem that he was having, the struggles that he was dealing with. And so God's grace is not just what God has done for me, but what God is doing for me. It the same grace that saves us also teaches us how to live for God day by day. I want us to look at this grace this morning. And I'd like for us to do that in
in connection with the words of the song that we just sang. It was a song that was written by John Newton back in 1779. John Newton had been quite a sinful man. And he had found the light of God's grace, and it had led him to obey God. And so this song, Amazing Grace, was his way of expressing what God had done for him and how God had brought him from being lost and separated forever to having the hope of eternal life. And in this song, he talks about the depth of grace. He talks about the height of grace, the length of grace, and in these verses, he reminds us of what God's Word tells us repeatedly, that the grace of God is truly amazing grace. One of the things that he points out in this first stanza, he says that he talks about the depth of God's grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The depth of the grace of God, how far does it go down? Well, it reaches all the way down to every sinner, to the lowest depths of sin, to the wretched, to the spiritually blind, to the degraded, to the self-polluted, to those from whom all hope seems to be lost and gone. I know I've had people ask me or say to me, "Preacher, I've been too bad. You just don't know what I've done, what I've been through, and I just don't think God wants me." Or I've had them say, "Well, you know, I've been gone so long that I don't think that God wants me back." The grace of God, the depth of the grace of God, can reach to the vilest, to the furthest away. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul says this: "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost of all." I think about the grace of God, and I think about the depth that it goes to reach to us and to reach out to us. It is a grace that will run to us. We learned that in the story of the prodigal son. Whenever he came back, his father ran to him. And he didn't say, "Son, you're going to need to take a bath. You smell like a hog pen. Well, now you go in and you get cleaned up, and then we'll sit down and talk here after a while, because I've got some things I need to talk to you about. I knew you'd come back. I knew you couldn't make it on your own." Was that what the father said? No. He threw his arms around that old stinking neck, and he hugged him and hugged him, and he said, "Son, you were lost and you're found. You are dead and you're alive. You're back.
Bring the ring and put on his finger, shoes on his feet, and a robe. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's praise, sing praises to God, because this my son is back. That's the depth of the grace of God. That's how far it reaches down. It reaches down. If you'll look back, look up, it's there to reach down for you. If you'll start back, it'll run to you and throw its arms open for you to come back. The depth of the grace of God is awesome. You might even say amazing. And then the second verse reflects the height of the grace of God. When it says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. It is indeed true that the grace of God is so high, it brings us up. Salvation of the Lord teaches us to fear sin as well as to love God. And Paul combines both of these thoughts in this passage that was read for you a moment ago. Just read part of it again. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope that of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. The height of God's grace brings us out of the depths of sin up to a place where we can dwell in relationship, a love relationship with God Himself. And then the third stanza reflects the width of the grace of God. The grace of our God goes out to all of our needs. Listen, it says, through many dangers, toils, snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. No roadblock, no obstacle, nothing that the devil can put up to try to deter us can defeat the grace of God. Paul writes and says, if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? That the God of this world is not greater than our God. And this is where the grace of God means so much, because it gets down into the very day-to-day living of our existence. That's why it's more than just the gift that God gave us. Awesome gift. But it's more, because it helps me as Paul, when I'm struggling with that thorn, or trying to climb a mountain, or have to go through a valley of hurt and pain and sorrow, when I don't understand about what's happening in this world. When a day seems long, when the hurt is deep, when relationships have been shattered, when I walked into the office and the boss says, we've got to downsize. We've got to cut your job out. You've worked there for 25 years. Whenever your doctor says that the tests weren't good, and the outlook is not good. Those are the times whenever the grace of God is truly amazing, because it can lift us up. You can make that day brighter. It's there with a hope for tomorrow. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. I don't know that I've quite reached that level of maturity in faith or grace, because that's pretty awesome. When he says, I'm really glad for these things, is what he was saying. And that doesn't make sense, you know, to us. That doesn't really compute. I'm glad for my insults and my persecutions. Really? But if you'll listen to what he said, listen. He said, because when I'm weak, then am I made strong. What are you talking about? When you're weak, you're weak. Paul said, when I'm weak, then that's when I'm strong. How in the world are you seeing that? Because I don't see it. But Paul's reasoning there was that whenever I realize, when Paul realizes, when Larry finally gets it through his head that I can't do it all. I can't carry every burden. Of course, the world says you ought to, you're supposed to, you're supposed to man up, cowboy up, get back on. But there's sometimes you just can't do it. And Paul is saying, when we finally realize that and look to God, who we should have looked to before, we use it as a good last resort, but it's a great first resort, look to God to begin with, then our weaknesses become our strength, because it turns us to God. And we open our eyes and see this love and see this grace. And the power that is there. The power that's there for us is amazing. Absolutely astounding and amazing. And then finally he tells us, and I like this one, the length of it. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The Lord, in all of His wonderful mercy, will not only take us with His grace through this life, but it will take us into eternity. We'll get to sing the songs of the redeemed in the celestial city of God
prepared for us. Won't that be awesome? To sing with the angels. Every voice will just be an amazing voice. Heaven. It's a story that never grows old. Not in this life, not in the one to come. That God's grace is amazing. There actually is another stanza. It's not very often in our hymn book, but it is another stanza that talks about the length of God's grace. It says, "The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine." Here's what John writes in Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which was in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all the things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessings and honor and glory and dominion forever and forever and forever.'" The length of God's grace is unbelievable. So why is God's grace so amazing? Because of its depth. Because of its height, because of its width, and oh, thank God for its length. So our salvation is not just from faith to faith, it's from grace to grace. And in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich." And so we have today the grace of God that reaches even me. Let the grace of God, the gift, the great gift of salvation, be yours. If you have not taken advantage of it, or if you need to come back home, grace will run to you. Believe his truth, repent of your sins, confess that he is the Christ, and be baptized. Come back to the Father who longs to have you in his home, in his kingdom now, and his home forever. How amazing, truly amazing, is the grace of God. Will you come while together we stand and sing?